All right, this talk is going to be about my student font project, Cantarel, which I mentioned in the previous talk very briefly. I was studying at the University of Reading on the Masters in Typeface Design program, and this was my student project. When you set out to design a typeface, there has to be a reason why you're going to design it. And the reason which you, kind of reading context, which is reading on mobile phones. With the mobile internet, the ability to, read a lot of stuff, I mean, the whole web on your mobile phone, whenever you're sat on a bus or a train or you're waiting around, is just part of the fabric of life now for me, since I have such a phone. And this is a G1 phone running Google Android. It was the first Google Android handset available in England. And it had this web fonts feature, so that you could look at a web page, and if it specified a custom font, it would use that font. And so I thought that this was really a good opportunity to design my typeface for that specific environment, which means this specific screen with the web page rendering software. So that was the basic premise of the project, to design a text typeface for reading large amounts of texts on a very small pixel screen. And so to do that, there was a constant cycle between making some changes and then testing them out on the screen, and also testing them out on print, because at print you can really see the details in letter shapes. It's very difficult, I think, to design a typeface only looking at the laptop screen. The way that light works is very different between looking at something on paper and looking at something on screen. When you're looking on screen, the light is coming at you, it's shining at you, and on paper, you've got pigment on the paper, the light's bouncing off the paper to your eyes, and it creates a very different kinds of visual perception. And obviously the resolution of having something printed is much higher, so you can really see the shapes properly. So those were the two places where I was testing the typeface. And I've prepared some bitmaps so that you can see the evolution of the project. So this was the very first version of the word adhesion. And this is a word which we use at the University of Reading as a kind of prototyping word. It allows you to, working in this way, allows you to test out ideas for features of the typeface and rapidly cycle through different ideas without having to deal with propagating your idea to all of the letters in the alphabet. And so I'll just click through here. You can see the quite subtle changes that I was making as the typeface developed. So there were some spacing changes, some height changes. And then as the typeface kind of became stable at this word, as the features in this word became stable, then I started developing the other letters, which means that the changes here became less. And so you can see that the spacing between the letters changed quite a lot, even though the actual shapes of the letters didn't change. And then you can see here that I added the capitals and accents, which brings those letters down a bit. And that was the evolution of the face. So in terms of testing, I wrote a build script using the FontForge Python scripting. And this basically, let's see here, had a snapshot function which would rename the font's metadata to apply the current date and time to the font name, and then save a version of the font both as FontForge source and as a TrueType font file that I could then use to test with. The build script also produced a tech document which specified to use the generated TrueType font, and I also produced a HTML page in the same way so that I could test the font using the phone. And having a script to do this made working a lot faster than when I started off and I was doing these stages manually every time. And I can show you what this looks like in FontForge. So this is FontForge, and you can see here's a letter. So if I made some changes to this, I can go to the Tools menu and say Next Step, and then it would run through. And it doesn't currently work on my laptop, it seems, but when I was working, it would run through, give me status output there, and produce the fonts in the directory, such as this one. So you can see the way that that worked. So what I ended up with was a lot of fonts. Let's see. Yeah, so this is all of the fonts that I used to generate the preview of the evolution I just showed you a moment ago. And so this is a very kind of rudimentary version control system, where it's a kind of write-only version control system. And it would obviously be possible to kind of write a script to check these into a proper version control system. But having it in this kind of non-sophisticated way meant that it was very easy to deal with. I didn't have to deal with version control systems, going back, reverting to several revisions ago to get to the font from a few revisions ago. It was just there on the file system, named in a sensible way. And I think that going forwards, using version control systems for designing fonts, that the level of complexity of version control really has to be at that very simple level. So it's very visible what's happening. And just using the regular file system and the regular file manager was a way I was very comfortable doing that. But I think that there's a lot of room for improvement with that kind of thing. Okay. So that was the build script. And the other big thing when designing this was I used Spiro splines to do a lot of the design work. And the good side to that was that when you're designing a letter form, then you can see here that you've got this curve for the inside of the E and this outer curve. And these two together give you a single shape, which ought to look like it's been made through a mark-making tool. So the two outlines together ought to look like they belong together. And using Spiro splines, I found it quite difficult to create that illusion that the two separate curves belong together. And even though each curve individually is very smooth, there is now a very good feature in FontForge for dealing with that, so that if you place a Spiro spline down, something like this, then you can pass a it's called the expand stroke feature, and you can pass a pen nib kind of shape over this. So for example, we can take a flat pen like this. Which gives us exactly what that kind of rectangular shape would do when passed over that smooth spiral spline. And so this function gives you those two outer edges, which are by definition related because they've been created from that parent kind of skeleton spline. And that spline is guaranteed smooth because of spiro. So this feature, I think, is something which I would have liked to have had when I was developing the font, so that I could have that as a kind of guide to work from. And as I continue to develop the font, then this is something I'm going to be looking into. So as I say, I started developing the font with the word adhesion, and then continued to build out the rest of the lowercase, and then create the capitals. And as that got more and more complicated, then the testing documents I was generating had to change. So you can see typical testing document at the beginning, at the very beginning, was like this. And this is just random words that can be created with the characters from that first word, adhesion. And it's just a text block. It's very simple. As the typeface developed, then I would both print out the larger letters. And that's not such a good one. And a large text block. So this is a spacing example. So in order to space the letters, then the script was very useful for producing lines of text with every letter in the middle like this. So you could judge the space. So I could judge the spacing of that letter in context with the N and the O, which gave the kind of general rhythm of the typeface. So with the capitals, then this was a document to test all of the capitals together. And this shows the numbers, the way I was testing the numbers, also in context, and again generated using the building script. Okay. And so, I think that's it. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Dave. I think we have time for three questions. Very nice. Yes.
Did you use FontForge when you were at the University of Reading in the program?
I was using FontForge as I was showing you. That was exactly how I did the project the whole way through. And I didn't use any other tools other than FontForge. I found that I've got quite an image of this actually. When I started out, the very first thing that I tried was to, sketch on paper and then scan it in and trace over that, put that into, which I did using Inkscape, as you can see like this. So I traced over it and then brought it into FontForge. And the result I didn't think was very good because there are so many things happening with the sketch that when I traced it in and digitized it, that it wasn't giving the kind of coherence and consistency that a typeface needs. So I abandoned that and I drew only on screen. I was using sketching on paper to plan ideas, but I did everything in FontForge.
Someone else? Yeah. I can reach you.
Hey, my question is, since I'm Bulgarian and we use the Kyrillic letters, and it's more related probably to your previous talk, because we noticed that, me and other friends noticed that only one of the typefaces that Google supports so far support Kyrillic letters. And I would guess that they don't support Arabic, Chinese, and so on either. So my question is, what do you need as a typeface designer to support more languages, more alphabets? And are there plans for Google, if you have that information, of course? Does Google plan to support more more languages and more?
All right. I'm working on a very simple kind of flat contract to provide my font to Google for their services, and I've got no idea what Google are planning to do.
Nikolai, I have another question.
But just to reply to that, because I have information, it's not a question.
Nikolai, if you speak, it's impossible to translate, so then you need to come forward. So, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for the translation. I'm just saying that if you look... Raph Levine has posted a blog recently about the plans that Google has for the Google Font directory to move beyond the Latin one set. So not a huge amount of information, but they're looking into it as far as we know.
The third question is in the back.
Maybe I should answer this question as well. So in terms of what do people need to design for scripts they're not familiar with. I mean, I'm not familiar with Cyrillic, for example. Then you need to have some knowledge about the history of those letter forms. That was a big thing which, the course I attended really focused on, and I really deeply appreciated, the time I spent putting into learning the history when I came to design the forms. Because type design is often about a balance between convention and originality, that you're trying to make something which is you and original, and at the same time, something which fits the conventions of what people are used to reading. And so, if I was going to make a Cyrillic extension to my student project, then I would have to try and look at the history of the letter forms and feel, where do the kinds of shapes that I've got already, where do they fit into the historical context? Do they fit at all? Is this anything like anything that's gone before it? So that would be the first thing that I would say people have to be aware of. In terms of the technicality stuff, then there's not that much mystery to that. But the history and the kind of the more artistic end of it is tricky, especially if you can't actually read the language. The testing documents which I produced, the reason I really wanted to automate that was because I found that when I was actually able to read text with the font that I had drawn, then my mind kind of shifted and I was able to say, oh, this isn't right, this has got to change, this is too heavy here, this is too light there, move that up a bit, whatever. Because the reading mind is very different to when you're looking at something. And so as a non-native reader, then not having that ability would mean the type design process would be more difficult for me. But clearly, since a lot of the best type designs for non-Latin scripts have been done by people who don't read them. It's obviously possible.
Thank you. We have the third question.
Thank you. I have a question about your workflow, because it's apparent that there's a lot of iteration involved in creating the font. And you've designed the font in, you know, multiple ways, and you got, you know, the italic style. Do you, like, have you, I don't know, just have you, and would you do it again, like, design the one weight, one width first, have complete coverage, and then move on to the others? Or, like, what's the trick to keep them in sync? Like, I've only done a very, you know, stylized font, but just wanted to do the different weights, and then it's really a nightmare to keep them in sync when when you change a property of a glyph, and then you need to do it for all of them.
Okay. So to be totally honest, I don't have much experience with that. You know, my student project was very much focused on the regular and on what are, you know, kind of the essential basics of doing type design. And dealing with a family was something which really came towards the end. And so the process, the workflow that I'd done, didn't take that into account. The way that that kind of process is done is with interpolation. And so having the parameters that are used to generate the members of the family through the interpolation system, having that noted in a usefully consistent way would be something which I would be looking into.
Oh no, the RoboFab library is an open source library. It has a lot of these functions, and it's being used in, I think, some commercial software. But the underlying library is, I think, open sourced.
Yeah, that's right. So the libraries for interpolation inside FontForge are also quite, I mean, they work well. It's just something that I didn't look into yet. There's lots of work for free fonts to be done. So yeah, that'll be done.
Thank you very much.
All right.